tonight, and the Lord kind of led me this direction tonight, and I kind of titled it, Are You Being Led? Are You Being Led? And I know as Christians, we ought to be being led by the Spirit of God. And we're going to open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to start reading in verse 12. And I think, Teresa, put it in the Amplified. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it out of both. And I'll read it in the Amplified so you can see it on the wall if you don't have one. It says in verse 12, it says, So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We're not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. I'm telling you, there's a lot of flesh-ruled people. Huh? You know, your flesh is in the way you think, following your thought life. And he says, we're not to be ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. There's a lot of, listen, if you're not careful, your flesh will try to rule you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been saved, how much words you got in you. Your flesh will still try to dictate your life and try to get you to follow it. Am I right? Myself included. I mean, none of us are. Why? Because we're in this fleshly body. This fleshly. Did you know our flesh has not been saved yet? Our spirit's saved. Our mind's being renewed. But our flesh will still try to rise up and get us to do things that we know we ought not do. Try to rule us. Amen. Sin shall not have dominion over us, the Bible says. For if we live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if you through the power, oh, I like this. But if you through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Verse 14 says, For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I've said this about myself a lot. I said, I have a right to be led by the Holy Ghost because I'm a son of God. So I ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Can we? And any of us here can be led by the Spirit of God. See, there's a voice inside of us. It's kind of like a GPS system set up on the inside of us, the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can punch it in your car and go anywhere, but the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you in how you need to go and what you need to do and when you need to do it. Isn't that great? The word lead is to guide by the hand, and this is a Noah Webster's definition of it, the 1828 definition. It says, to guide by the hand as to lead a child. It often includes the sense of drawing as well as of directing. To guide or conduct by showing the way, to direct, as the Israelites were led by a pillar of a cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. The Holy Ghost is here to help us, to lead us, to guide us. And I'm telling you, here's why I think it's so important that we get sensitive to His voice. Because He tried to speak sometimes, and listen, everything He tells us is right. I said, everything He tells us is right. Now, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, right? He's inside of you, and He's your guide. He's your leader, and He wants to help you. And, there's been times I've had people tell me before that did you know the Holy Ghost will divert you from accidents and such as that? Can you imagine that? He will change the course that you drive on just to keep you safe. Probably people in here has experienced stuff like this. I have. And you said, well, I got there and nothing happened, but you don't know what was on the other path. Are you hearing me? I mean, I was going to Madisonville one day, and I always go right down to Centerville, hit I-45 and go. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me one morning. He said, I want you to go through Normandy this morning. And so my thinking was, it's a whole lot better road going to I-45 and hitting I-45. I can make it faster. But something inside of me was kind of urgent. Like, no, you go this way. Now, nothing happened to me, but I don't know what was down the road, I-45, or what was down there. Are y'all following me? See, you got to be sensitive to that. We need to get where we don't override the Holy Ghost. Overriding, especially when it's strong. Now, sometimes we just think in some things, but we are to know the difference in that, right? We're to know the difference if we're just thinking of it, but when it's coming up from in here. That guide inside. I think Mark Burzee has a book called The Guide Inside. And so we need to learn to listen to the voice of God and be led by the Spirit of God, because I can guarantee you one thing, He will keep you safe. Lord, I want to go to 1 Kings. Chapter 19, verse 11, and I'll be in the New King James, Teresa. Talking about Elijah. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, this is Elijah kind of running from Jezebel after the Mount Carmel experience. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. A still, small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You know, sometimes we look for the spectacular when it's just a still, small voice speaking on the inside of you. I appreciate Keith Moore. Hey, how many listens to Keith Moore? We love Keith Moore. We listen to Keith Moore a whole lot. And he'll say, the Lord spoke to me. He'll always say, I don't mean he spoke in an audible voice. I'm talking about just inside of me. There was just that voice inside of me. So when we say God spoke to me, we're not, most of the time, you know, I don't know that I've ever heard an audible voice from God. I felt like I did one time when I was in my office and, telling me something it was to the point I turned around to look. And so I don't know that it was audible, but it was awful loud inside of me. And I'm telling you something, but most times it's just a still, small voice. Did you know the Holy Ghost sometimes will just nudge you a little bit? Now, if you're hard-headed, He might give you a shove. I don't know. But the thing about it is, most times it's just that still, small voice. You just feel something inside of you. And just know God's speaking to you and He's dealing with you. And it's that still, small voice that you just listen to. And I tell you what, we just need to say, yes, Lord, what? What? Why? Because He wants to guide you. God likes to communicate with us. He likes to fellowship with us. Amen? Look, if you will, to 1 Samuel. Talking about being led by the Holy Ghost. Chapter 30. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to point out something here. In verse 1 it says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Did you realize that I was listening to somebody talk about the Amalekites? Usually when the Amalekites went and invaded something, they killed everything. They killed everybody. But this particular one, they didn't kill the women and children. They didn't kill it. They actually took everything alive. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, and I don't know how to pronounce that. Anybody know how to pronounce that first one? Okay, y'all about as good as me. Okay, that's why I just skip it. Anyway, the Jezreelites and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, David, he was the leader of the bunch, and I guess they was blaming him for it all because they was off on missions, battles, and such as that. And then they spoke of stoning him, and I'm telling you, did you know David lost more than anybody? So how you know he had more? I said he had more. So he lost more than anything, but everybody turned against him, and all of a sudden David did something that none of the others did at that point. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Did you know there comes a time we have to strengthen ourselves in God? I mean, if it's not nothing, but we're just praise God. God, I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you that you're with me. You're for me. You're not against me. And you just strengthen. You know what starts building inner strength on the inside of you? We all need to do that. Because I tell you, sometimes it seems like circumstances and situations begin trying to weigh us down. And we just need to get quiet before God or praise God and just get alone with God. We talk about meditation. Sometimes we just need to think about the goodness of God. But he strengthened himself in the Lord. We know this about David. He was a praiser. We know this about David. He was a worshiper. He praised and worshiped God, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. Because I'm telling there, Linda's scripture, I would have fainted if I had not believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in Psalms 27:13. But the thing about it is David had some struggles, but yet he knew what to do. Let's strengthen ourselves in the Lord. But notice what David did. He did something else. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Now he's seeking guidance. Am I right? He's seeking guidance. Now listen, we ought to be seeking guidance from God all the time. Certain things that we're making decisions on, we're to seek God for instructions in that. And sometimes we get out there and make decisions and choices and do some things and make a mess of it. And then now we're praying for God to get us out of the mess. So David said, listen, God, shall I overtake this troop? And then he got an answer. He got direction. He got the leading of God. Can we all agree that God was leading him right here? Why? Because he's seeking God. See, listen, God can't direct you if you don't seek Him. How's He gonna direct us and lead us and guide us if we don't even seek His guidance? You said, well, I'm a child of God. Yeah, but you gotta seek His guidance. David sought what to do. We need to seek God what to do. There's been many times I just said, God, I don't know what to do, but you do. You're gonna have to help me. And I tell you, there's been a lot of times God's told me to do things that I didn't think it was possible for it to take place. And I fought and dealt with it a little while, but wind up obeying God, and it worked. Because I knew I didn't think it up. You've had God speak to you, and you know you didn't think that up. I ain't that smart to think up some of the things God tells me. Now listen, we need to get a hold of the Holy Ghost and say, God, I need some help here. And so he answered him, the Lord answered him, David. He said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, you shall recover all. Now, that's a pretty good word from God. Without fail, you shall recover all. So David went. So David believed it was God. You say, how do you know? Because he went. You know, he didn't sit around struggling. I don't know if this is God or not. Why? He's asking God for direction, and he believed God gave it to him. See, when you ask God for direction and something in the Holy Ghost speaks to you, you need to believe God's giving you the direction. You need to hear that voice and know that voice. And I'm telling you, we need to practice the presence of God, and we need to practice listening. This ain't gonna make no sense to you maybe, but we need to practice listening to God. And get sensitive and know. You say, well, how do I know it's God? You just know. I can't explain it. He's down in here. He'll sit and visit. I can sit and visit with God. What? You can visit with God. Wow, you can visit with Him driving down the road. You can visit with Him sitting in your house. You can, wherever, you say, well, He's there. It's better than talking to yourself. We usually say the wrong things to ourselves, but we can visit with Him. The Bible says he's your father. Huh? Oh, my goodness gracious. So he went, and he and 600 men who were with him and came to the brook Besor, there stayed, and they several of them stayed there. Verse 18 says this, so David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds that they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. What did God tell him he would do? What was David asking him? What do I do? Should I pursue this troop? Should I go after them? What should I do? God said, go after them. Pursue them. And you're going to overtake them, and you're going to recover all. Now, you got to understand something. These Amalekites have been going invading villages all over the place. So they had a lot of spoil. I kind of look at it like this. David sought God on what he was supposed to do. And he went and did what God told him to do, and he recovered all. Now, I believe David, they recovered everything that they had taken from every other village. Man, they had a lot more when they got back than they had when they left. Am I right? Is that the way God works? Why? Because I don't know if they wiped out all the villages and killed everybody there or whatever, but I'm telling you this, there's sometimes people won't go after what's theirs. Huh? Sometimes they don't go after what's theirs. They don't say, well, I found out the thief, he has to pay me back sevenfold. Some people are just, oh, that's a bunch of bunk. Well, it may be for you, but not for me. Had somebody tell me one time, they said, well, somebody stole my lawnmower. What's God going to give me, seven lawnmowers? I said, maybe one seven times better. What? Or give you a little push one that don't even got a motor. You know them crazy little old things? Being smart aleck like that. God will give you one of those. Got them little blades. Y'all see them? You had to push and them blades turn like that. I just want to lift my hands and thank God for technology. Because I pushed one of them for my granddad head one time. And oh my God in heaven. That is not the funniest thing in the world to push. Huh? But you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we almost want to, not us, don't get me wrong, not us, I know us. But sometimes people want to jeer at the fact of what we believe. But yet we're getting the manifestations of it. Huh? So, you know, it's kind of like in everything of our life, I'll just put it for instance here. Have you ever been sitting in a service and God spoke to you at the offering time to give more than what you was going to put in it? I'm telling you, God has spoke to us before to just empty our pockets. And even when I was a tither, I used to try to hang on to everything else. And I've been in services where the Lord speak to me and said, I want you to give everything in your pocket. And I'm thinking, which it ain't much. And God, I need what little bit I got left. Anybody ever talk to God like that? You know, I talk to him like he's my daddy, my father. And I'll just sit there and you said, it's amazing how I can talk to God and nobody knows I'm talking to him but me. Anybody ever been there sitting in service just kind of talking back and forth to God and everybody thinks you're just sitting there with a smile on your face, but inside you're thinking, oh my God, God is asking me to do this and do that. And, so I literally had God speak to me and different things to do different things. And I'm sitting there saying, God, I don't, how can I do that? I mean, we can't afford to do that. I can't do that. And, but you know, and reluctantly, and God forgive me for saying that. God's forgiven me for all that. Reluctantly, I did it. Because I knew and hear He was talking to me. He was talking to me. He was speaking to me. See, He's a guide inside. And He's trying to help us. I said He's trying to help us. God never speaks to us to do something that there's not a reason and a purpose for Him speaking it to us. Now, if we can say no. We can say no. Several years ago, we was at Galveston at a harvest festival, and man, the worship was going on, and the worship and all, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I want you to go to the altar and worship me. He said, I got something. He said, here's how he put it. He said, there's something you'll get there that you're not going to get where you're at. And I sit there, and here's what I was dealing, and now I'm dealing with God right now. I said, God, there's nobody at that altar. There's nobody in front of the church at all. He said, there's something you're going to get there that you're not going to get where you're at. And so I worked my way through that deal, and I went there, and I fell on my knees at the altar. And I just worshiped God. I mean, the Spirit of God come on me, and I just wept. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost just came on me. But I could have missed that. I said, I could have missed it. You know, God wouldn't condemn me to hell for it. And he'd have probably still spoke to me again. But the thing about it is, I was afraid. Here's what I was afraid. I was afraid I was going to miss what God wanted to do for me. I was afraid I was going to miss that moment. And so I eased out of there and went and did it. You know, I'm not advocating fear, but y'all know what I'm talking about. That little bit in you says, what am I going to miss if I don't do it? But then sometimes our flesh just rules and we sit back and we'll never know. We'll never know. The honor to God. And so David listened to God. He took off. He took the instruction. He took the guidance, and he went and got everything back that he lost, plus everything everybody else lost. Glory to God. David was a very wealthy man, by the way. Look in Luke. Luke 4. Verse 1, it says, then Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know he was the Son of God, but he was man filled with the Holy Ghost? Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by who? The Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Ghost. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. I would be too. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, Jesus was there being led by the Holy Ghost to be there. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says Jesus was tempted with every temptation as we are, yet without sin, without submitting to it. And so Jesus was being tempted, being led by the Spirit there, being tempted and by the devil. Because listen, Jesus, Jesus overcame every temptation that the devil brought his way. He did not fail in any way. And so Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in your hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, how many believes that was, you know, the devil can't tell the truth. The Bible says the truth is not in him. But he was quoting Psalms 91. He was quoting Psalms 91. And he was doing all this. Now, you got to understand, Jesus is being led by the Spirit of God. Jesus is led by the Holy Ghost. Did you know, let me say this. When you're being led by the Spirit of God, when temptation and stuff come, you're going to have the right answer. You're going to have the right response to it when you're led by the Spirit of God. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Verse 14 says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Did you know, let me just say this. I think Jesus was our example, and we all know that. He said, the things that I do, shall you do in greater things than these? And we can look at it like all the miracles and all the things he did like that. But you know, Jesus, after all the temptation, everything the devil brought, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, you know, we can go through, we don't have to, when we're going through situations in our life, when we feel like we're going through hell or whatever it is, we don't have to smell like smoke. I believe when Jesus come back after 40 days and he returned in the power of the Spirit, I believe he came down with a smile on his face. I believe he came energized like the Energizer bunny rabbit. I believe he come down, glory to God. I'm going to preach the gospel to you, and that's when he preached one of his most powerful, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open blind, to heal the brokenhearted, and all such as that. Listen to me. Jesus did not let the devil rob him of his enthusiasm and his joy and his peace and his power. Amen. Huh? If we're not careful as Christians, we'll walk around old solemn looking face. Oh, if you just knew what I was going through. Honey, listen to me. Jesus went through hell and still come back in the power of the Spirit. Huh? Man, you know, you may have a hell of a week, and I don't mean to cuss in church, but anyway, that's the place, hell. And I'm telling you what, you may have a hell of a week, but I guarantee you, when you walk into the church, you are to walk in there like you're the winner. Like you won that week. Huh? Huh? Come on, are we victorious? Yes. We always have the victory in Christ. Somebody say, how are you doing? You don't need to say, tired. Praise God, I'm great. Hallelujah. You said, but what if I'm tired? Well, what if you are? Well, I'm sick. Well, that's what's wrong. Some people stay, remember we read at the beginning, dictates of the flesh. Oh, if I told you how I felt. I'm not asking how you feel. Oh, Lord God, I'm not going to ask you how you feel. Mark Hankins said, never ask somebody how they feel. Ask them what's their confession. Can we start that around. Let's start that around at Word of Life Family Worship Center. Don't ask somebody how you feeling. Ask, what's your confession? Because you know as well as I do, you ain't got all day. Some people will give you an organ recital. Glory to God. How am I getting off on that? Hallelujah. So Jesus, he was tempted, led by the Spirit of God up there, and was tempted, and he overcome every temptation that the devil brought him. And here's how he did it. By the Word of God. Now he was the Word, right? But he quoted the Word. If he quoted the Word of God to get the victory, don't you think we have to quote the Word to get the victory? Wasn't he our example? It is written. And you can't get away with just saying it's written. You got to say what's written. Jesus was so great as an example. He didn't just say it's written. He said what was written. Huh? He spoke the Word. Why? Because you're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the Word of your testimony. You need to testify of what the Word has done for you and what the Word is doing for you. Amen? Pray. I'm telling you, we got to understand, God has put somebody, God's got somebody on the inside of us. Let's go to one last scripture. Let's go to John real quick. St. John 14. Are we being led? We are being led by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God for the guide inside. And I am going to read this in Teresa in the Amplified. Let's start with verse 15. Jesus said, if you really love me, you will keep or obey my commands. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. Isn't it amazing all that the Holy Ghost is? That He may remain with you for a certain part of time, for a little while. He said, He shall remain with you forever. We can't leave home without Him. And He never tells you that He said, I'm sleepy, I'm going to stay in bed a little while longer. You go ahead, I'll catch up with you later. No, He's going to be with you. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take into it to its heart, because it does not see Him or know and recognize Him, but you know and recognize Him, for He lives with you constantly and will be in you. He will be in you. You know, at that point, until Jesus died and rose again, shed His blood, He wasn't in them, but He was with them. And so He's not just with us, He's in us. He's that voice inside, that still small voice that speaks up and He deals it. He leads us and He guides us and He directs us. He brings wisdom to us. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans or comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. I'm telling you, God is on our side. He's for us. He's not against us. He's living on the inside of us to lead us, guide us, and direct us every single day. You know, the Holy Ghost will prompt us to obey God. And no matter where we are, in fact, I was in Brookshire's yesterday, and I was sitting there waiting, there was a certain lady in there that was checking me out, and she looked at me and said, Brother Randy, my feet are hurting me. I'm hurting. Would you pray for me? I said, give me your hand. And then we had some people behind me. Johnny Lowther was standing there. And so I started praying for her right there. Johnny Lowther ducked his head. They ducked their head around me. We're standing in line. And I'm just praying as the Holy Ghost led me to pray for that lady's feet. And when I said amen, they said amen. Huh? I mean, the Holy Ghost prompts us to do that. And I know she was meaning, would you pray for me when you go? Huh? But I might have forgot when I left. Huh? And then she might not have. She might have fully intended for me to pray for her right there. But the thing about it is, that was a prompting of the Holy Ghost. And just to be ready in season and out of season and listen to that voice and be led by the Spirit of God. We're sons of God. We have a right to be led by the Spirit of God and we hear the voice of God and we obey it in the name of Jesus. And you know, we are to tell ourselves that I hear the voice of God and I obey the voice of God. Just say that with me. I hear the voice of God and I obey the voice of God. Hallelujah. You know when it's not you. When it's the Holy Spirit, to be led by God. Some of you are seeking direction in your life. Just say, God, what should I do this or should I do that? And when you talk to God and you visit with Him a little bit, then just get quiet. Get in the listening mode. Sometimes we talk to God and ask for Him, and then we're up and we're out of there. We got our mind on everything else. Sometimes we just need to give Him a few minutes to talk back. Amen. Praise God. It's kind of like He'd probably say, if you'd sit still long enough, I'd talk to you. Huh? I've kind of felt like He's been that way with me before. If you sit still long enough, I'll talk to you. Huh? Isn't God good? The guide inside. Father, we thank You that You have so graciously filled us with Your precious Holy Spirit. God, we love You so much and look forward to our fellowship with You. And God, we look forward to it every day. God, that we can just listen to Your voice as You lead us and guide us and direct us, God, and as You keep us and protect us every day. God, we thank You for the blood of Jesus that covers us and the angels that You've stationed around us and our kids and our families. We appreciate You so very much. What a good God You are. You're our Father. And God, You lead us and guide us and You direct us, God. Holy Ghost, You're speaking to us and talking to us. And God, we're listening. We want to hear You. We want to obey You. We want to follow You. We want to be led by You. Oh, we appreciate you so very, 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 very much. Thank you for this night. Thank you for everybody that came out tonight. God, I just speak and pray blessings over them in abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.